Let's just read these two verses, 47, 48 of John 1, and ask the Lord's blessing. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning we call upon you, knowing that, Lord, you know and do all things well. We thank you for the privilege to be able to meet together. Lord, this is your day. This is the Lord's day. The day that we look in celebration to the glorious resurrection of our blessed Savior. Lord, would you bless the word this morning? Would you help this frail creature? Would you bless the word to our comfort, to our help? Lord, I pray for Tommy and for Robin, and pray for that church down in Sylacauga. Lord, where you've allowed the candlestick of the glorious gospel of Christ to be raised up. And Lord, you've blessed it. You've maintained it. And for that, we give you the honor and glory and praise. I thank you for the candlestick here. I thank you that we've got one more Sunday to meet together. And Lord, if you'd be pleased to allow the gospel to continue to be preached here, for that we're thankful. Bless, I pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. You know, the major question, I think, when false religion, and I say false religion, and the reason I say that is because this is the question that is usually posed to people when someone is wanting to be a soul winner. And I say that. Here is scriptural language. The scripture says, "He that winneth souls is wise." But what a believer knows and what an unbeliever thinks he knows is two different things. He that winneth souls, there's one that wins souls. There's one wise. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But false religion makes this statement concerning people that they desire to be soul winners. They'll ask this question: "Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord?" Now, when someone asks that question, what they're thinking is they're going to lead you down what many refer to as the Roman road. And they're going to take a few scriptures and they're going to, you know, they're going to look in the Bible. And they're going to read a few scriptures for you. And they're going to say, "Now, if this is so, this must be so. And if this is so, then this is so. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." They'll say, "Do you believe that?" Well, anybody that's, you know, that's got any sense is going to realize, well, they need to say yes. And then they'll back and forth, and then they'll pose this question: Now, you don't believe that God lies, do you? Well, no, nobody's going to say God lies. Well, then let me ask you this. Would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Well, here again, I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, are you going to embarrass yourself and say, well, no, I really don't. Or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of them that will tell you that. But people don't want to make themselves out to be a fool. And then after someone leads them in a prayer and stuff like that, they'll say, now, you know what? Now you know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Yeah. Yes, I know the Lord. I mean, if you prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus and you walked down the aisle or you baptized or you know the Lord. Really? I'm going to tell you something. This thing of knowing the Lord. I've got a question for you. What do you mean? What do you mean? You know the Lord. Does that mean it's just some kind of a little intellectual? I know that there's a God. The devils know there's a God. The demons in hell knows there's a God. Does that mean when you say you know the Lord, does that mean that there's some kind of a buddy system that we've, you know, me and Jesus, they say. You don't find believers calling Him by His first name. They say, we've got a good thing going. It's the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard in my life. Let me tell you something. This thing of knowing the Lord. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? The issue comes right down to this. Does the Lord Jesus Christ know you in mercy, compassion? And if He does, how is that evidenced? 2 Timothy 2:19, let me read this to you. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, steady, having this seal. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. Now you think about this. Whatever is getting ready to be said next, I want to know what that is. The foundation of God stands sure. Here it is. The Lord knoweth them that are His. You know, knowing that the devil knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Intellectually, there's people all over this world that knows intellectually. They have an intellectual understanding. Somebody says, do you believe that there's a Lord Jesus Christ? Everybody believes that there's a Lord Jesus Christ. But knowing Him and Him knowing you, what does the Scriptures have to say about that? This is the seal. The Lord knows them. This is the issue. Not that I have an intellectual, because an intellectual knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, an intellectual, evidences itself like this. It's just as far as a person that intellectually knows. I know a few scriptures. I know a few doctrines. It's hit and miss, give and take, in and out, up and down, now and then. You have no heart for it. You have no love for it. You have no desire for His glory and honor. It's all about me. Now, I know that from experience. There's a nature in me that's just exactly like that. The question for my hope should not be, do I know Him intellectually, but does He know me in Christ? Does He know me in mercy? If my eternal security rests in His knowledge of me, what does the Scripture say? Just tell me what the Word of God says. When it comes right down to it, I mean, we've witnessed here in the last few months, I mean, we've witnessed some dear, dear brethren leave this world. And I'm telling you, it just has become evident to me and to you, I know, experientially. This life is a vapor. I'm telling you, we talk about that like, that's for everybody else. It happens to the other guys. It won't happen, you know, surely it won't happen to me. I'm looking around and I'm seeing people leave this world. Then what? I don't want to be lied to, and I don't want to lie to you. I want to know something. What does the Word of God have to say about Almighty God? What does the Word of God say about me? What does the Word of God say about me standing before God? What does the Word of God say? Because the way that a person dies, that's where they're going to spend eternity. He that is holy, that's what Revelation says, let him be holy still. He that's unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. I'm telling you, when we take our last breath, you know, somebody says, well, now you're just trying to scare us. No, I'm not. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just want to be honest with you. I got a buddy that's just, you do too, a brother. That's just, I mean, the breaths that are entering his lungs are coming down to, I mean, you just about count them. Then what? How? Whence knowest thou me? Let me tell you how. This is the seal of God that stands sure. The Lord knows those that are His. What does the Scriptures have to say? Well, I'll tell you how He knows them. He knows them first. He knew them before the foundation of the world. I know that. The Scripture says, Jeremiah 1:5. I'll just read this to you. Jeremiah 1:5. This is what God Almighty has to say about knowing His people. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, you know what went through my mind when I read that? I knew thee. I thought, Lord, what do you mean when you say you knew me? You knew me. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. What does that mean, you knew me? Here's what it means. I distinguished you. I recognized you. And this is the one that I just loved when I saw this word. I cared. I cared.
Before I formed you in the belly of your mother, I cared. Oh, I thought, I sure am glad I saw that word. I cared.
What did he do before the foundation of the world? He that cared. What did he do? Here's what he said. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I cared for you. He's a just God and he's a Savior. And he cared. What is he going to do before the foundation of the world? Before he ever formed me in my mother's womb? Before he ever formed me? There's my mother right there. Before I ever came forth from my mother, what did he do? He said, I knew you. I knew Marvin Stoniker. I recognized you. You're one that I've everlastingly loved. Why did he love me? He chose to. What had I ever done? I wasn't even born, neither having done any good or evil. But the purpose of God according to election might stand. He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, Marvin I loved. He cared. The issue, what's the issue? That he knows me. That he cared for me. He chose me. In the Lord Jesus Christ, entered into that intimate relationship with me in His mind before the foundation of the world. And in so doing, He purposed to set His affection upon me. And knew before the foundation of the world that I was going to fall. He knew me while I was being carried. He knew me before He formed me. And knew me while I was being carried. Psalm 51:5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. From Adam. Just passed down every generation. Sin begets sin, begets sin, begets sin, begets sin. Like begets like. Somebody said, well, we're all evolving. No, we're not. Just as wicked as I am by nature. You cut out of the same lump of depravity that I was. What makes the difference? I'll tell you who makes the difference. Almighty God. How knowest thou me, Lord? Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. How do you know me? Oh, I've known you a long time. Knew me before I ever formed you in the belly. I cared for you. Because I cared for you. Because I loved you. Chose you. How do you separate these things? These things are not separated. I mean, I have to talk like it's a chronological thing right here. Because I can't speak eternity. I can't speak in an all-encompassing one. Just a frail creature of the dust that's trying to stand up here and trying to be honorable. I speak these things, and you know that. I say them, but this was always so. All of these things were all. Before He formed me, He cared. Because He cared, He chose. Because He loved, He entered into that everlasting covenant of grace, mercy, purposed that I wouldn't fall. How knowest thou me? He knew me. He knew me when I was growing up in rebellion. Listen to Galatians chapter 1. I certify, Galatians 1, 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many of mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He knew me. I was in false religion. Just false free will religion. So proud of it. Freddie, I didn't know. I couldn't express to you how proud I was of myself. I mean, I didn't really know very many people who was more zealous than I was. Oh, I didn't really want you to know what I really thought or did or said, you know, back behind, you know, closed doors and stuff like that. But I'm talking about just outwardly. I was just so proud of myself, you know. I was a, you know, song director, youth director. I was this, that, and the other. Just, I really can't really figure how that assembly could have really made it without me. You say, well, I've never been that proud. Yes, you have. You just didn't stand up here and tell me, like I told you. Can you imagine watching? But let me tell you this. He who is long-suffering to usward. God is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. I the thought that He would show mercy to me in my utter silliness and rebellion and religious arrogancy. How knowest thou me? There's Nathanael. The Lord says there's one in whom is no guile. How do you know me? Oh, when I look back and I think how the Lord kept me in my blindness, guided me, causing others to cross my path, causing me to hear the gospel and to reveal to me how utterly stupid in myself I am. That's what Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Not that I was. Sin. My sin is ever before me. And how it grieves me to think about how silly. You know, that's something that men don't want to admit. They'd love to talk about how silly I used to be. Oh, and I was. There's no doubt about that. But how about right now? Lord, thank You for Your long-suffering to me. Thank You for Your mercy to me. Thank You that when I, just the little bit that I realize of how arrogant and how silly and how inconsistent I am. And that's, I don't want to say that and use that as a cloak to cover my rebellion. I mean it. I embarrass myself thinking about how silly I really, how do you know me? I knew you before I formed you. I knew you when you were conceived in iniquity.
I knew you while you grew up in rebellion.
How about after He called me out of darkness? He knows me right now. In regeneration, He knows me while I'm walking right now, striving to walk after Him, striving to trust Him. Here's the way it is. I've got a nature in me that just absolutely is not going to bow to Him. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit, spirit. And there's two me's here. And they're both me. I just quoted that. Oh, wretched man that I am. Somebody said, don't you mean that old man that you were? No. That old man that right now that I'm struggling with in this world and realizing that I get up every morning when I realize I'm dealing with Him. He's there always. But I realize I'm dealing with Him. And here I am. I've got a man that lives in me, the me. In my mind, I serve the law of God. I bow to God in Christ. The Word. When I say the law, I don't mean the law trying to establish a righteousness. I bow to His Word. Lord, as You say I am, that's the way I am. And here I am struggling to set forth in consistency some scriptures. He knew me everlastingly in conception, walking in rebellion when I didn't know Him, and now walking, striving after Him in regeneration. He knows me and the struggles that I have. Listen to this, Isaiah 64:6. Here is a prophet of God speaking under the inspiration of God's Spirit. Listen to the wording. We. This is Isaiah said that. And when he said this, do you think that he said this of himself, or is this God speaking through him? Listen to the wording. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Oh, when men start talking about what they've done for God, I'll tell you the best that I've ever done, and I can tell you for you too. If the Lord were to judge you on the best that you've ever done, He'd put you in hell. Oh yeah, but you don't realize how consistent I've been. No, none of us realize how inconsistent we've been. Let me tell you something. We have nothing to glory in save the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 39:5 says, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. He knows me in my failures. Oh, wretched man that I am. But let me tell you this glorious, glorious truth in closing. He'll know me in death. I'm going to leave this world. And you are too. It's appointed unto man once to die. I I'm not going to preach on this. I got to stop right now. But I'm sharing something with the men that just, and I don't know. Maybe I will develop this next week or something like that and preach on that. But I just want to read something to you out of 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. But we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Let me tell you what Paul just said very quickly. We know this. We know we're going to die. For we know that if our earthly house, that's this body, this tabernacle, were dissolved, if it passed away, and we know it will. We know that we have a house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. For we know, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. A couple of days ago, Neil and I left and drove, and we were going to Danville, and went to the services Friday night and then Saturday morning, came back yesterday afternoon. Now, this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there in the services. But I didn't really want to drive 6 hours to get there. If I could just, you know, bypass that part of it. We want to be clothed upon, robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, be in His presence, be eternally sitting at His feet, hearing Him, seated with Him. But we've got to go through death. And that's what we don't want to do. I want to be there. I'd like to bypass that part of it. That's what Paul said. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Somebody said, do you want to live with the Lord in heaven forever? A believer says, yes, I do. But I tell you, Brother Scott told me this one time. I know he was halfway joking, but he wasn't. He told me, he said, Marvin, I've heard that death is the only way out of this world. And I said, yeah, that's what I've heard too. He said, if you ever hear of another way, let me know. You know, half joking, but he wasn't. The Lord will know us in death. Oh, death, where's your victory? Where's the sting of the grave, or the victory of death? Where? Swallowed. In that day, when I've got to leave this world, knowing that He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I don't want to face that by myself. I don't want to walk through that veil, enter into that eternal state, standing before God. This is all the hope I've got, that He knows me, and He'll know me in glory. Knowing that the will of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be done. That I read you that. This is the last verse, and I'll stop. John 17:24, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, and all that's in him. Nathanael asked him, how do you know me? He knew Nathanael and all like him, objects of mercy. He knew them before they were ever formed in the belly. He cared. Because he cared, he chose them in Christ. Chose them in Christ, who is their surety, and looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is their surety. He looked to Christ to answer for them. How knowest thou me? He knows us in mercy. He knows us in compassion. Because he knows us in Christ, he knows us in mercy and compassion. When we were conceived in sin, he looked to the Lamb. When I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies, because he had chosen to show mercy to me. This is how he knew me. When I came forth speaking lies, he looked to the Lamb. When I was walking in absolute darkness and rebellion, and when I didn't care and religious arrogancy, because he would not leave me to myself, he looked to the Lamb and he was well pleased. In regeneration, he called me out of darkness and told me, revealed to me who I am in myself, the wretched man, and showed me, revealed Christ in me. It gave me an understanding, and I still struggle right now knowing. Because he was long-suffering, not willing that any of those that he'd everlastingly loved would perish, he looked to the Lamb. And in that hour of my death, he's going to look to the Lamb. And when this body, this tabernacle is laid aside, and while I'm still struggling, groaning, under because I was made to live forever. My flesh is going to fight it. I want to stay here. I know that right on the other side, absent from this body, present with the Lord, and I know that. And I'm struggling with it. And thanks be unto God, he's long suffering, looking to the Lamb. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. Oh, I tell you, but this is tough. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. And the closer a believer gets to leaving this world, I'm convinced, the sustaining grace of God keeps him. I've watched believers die. I've watched believers die. And I'm going to tell you something, they die with integrity. I've watched them. I'm not telling you something I don't know anything about. And I know this, that he's going to remember them in glory forever because he chose to show mercy unto them for the blessed sake of his Son. May the Lord add his blessing on this word for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's take a few minutes break.